Gillespie?
Yes, okay, that's Ralph Gold.
And there, see, in one of the, I told you there were two families in this compound, in the Boddingfield compound, and then one lady's house of single women.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this is not in our house, I think. I think it's in the other house.
Mm-hmm.
But the family, the Galtz and the Clarks, I didn't know. Clack, that's who it is. C-L-A-C-K. I remember
Clack.
I remember the word Clack, the family name Clack. Mrs. Clack, yeah, here's Mrs. Clack. Funny, though, she didn't call her by her first name. Well, this is a little bit later than this birthday party because there's little Jim.
Hmm.
And the Hubbards now had moved into the Hubbards' house.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not sure whose house this is. I don't remember that porch. Probably wasn't ours. Anyway, maybe it was the lady's house, the single lady's house. This is Grace Breck, I think. This is Isabel. Oh gee, Phelps. She loves me a lot, and I wasn't yet born.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had scarlet fever and was incarcerated in the third floor of our house, and my mother had to stay with me and nurse me, must have been terrible. And my brothers weren't allowed to come back from, Harold wasn't allowed to come back from Tungjo, his boarding school, that Christmas vacation. And he didn't like that. And Jim stayed downstairs with my
father. Why wasn't he allowed to come back from something he'd done at school?
Because I had scarlet fever. In those days, it was a very dangerous sickness.
But why was Jim allowed to stay in
the house? Well, Jim hadn't gone off to boarding school yet.
But since Harold was already in school, then they said that he needs to stay away, not risk infection.
That's right. And this is Mr. Galt. This is Mr. Hubbard. Mrs. Hubbard. My father, my mother. I think that's Aunt, I don't know who that is. Aunt Abby Chapin isn't here. Here's Emma Rose Hubbard. She is Gladys Hubbard's older sister. Gladys was my playmate in Boddingfield. Gladys was a couple years older than me. I am. And she's the one that runs the whole Tungjo reunion still. She's a wonderful, lively woman, wonderful woman. Oh, these are all labeled too. Oh, they used to call James Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Breck, yeah. Miss Chapin. Miss Chapin. Well, that is Abby Chapin then, yeah. She was one of the single women, so Miss Breck was another. And there was a grandmother Andrews. I wonder if she's here. Phelps. Miss Chapin, Miss Breck, Jamie, Harold, Ralph Gold, Ward Hubbard, Wells Hubbard, Edith Gold, Mr. Price. Mrs. Price. I didn't know them. They had died by the time I was born, or they'd left, because I wasn't born here.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all Hubbard kids. And they all went to Tungjo too.
Is that Harold?
That's Harold. Yeah. Yeah. So this was the kind of the community I grew up in.
Uh huh.
And there were always kids, but there were not as many. This was more kids than I remember. Because by the time I came along, the Hubbards were living in that house, and that was the only. But they had Ward Hubbard, and he was at the last reunion. Wells has died. And Emma Rose became a Foreign Service person. Her husband was consul someplace in India, I guess, and maybe China. And he died, and she's married to somebody else now. But she was always a wonderful person. And this is one of the Golfs, and then this is the other Golf. This is Ralph. It looks like he just had a haircut.
A lot.
It looks like our front steps. Maybe that was our front steps. And Mr. Hubbard, he was just wonderful.
They were all teachers, or?
Yeah. He was a minister. Mm-hmm. His there's a book out called The Call. That's by, it's really about him. It's a novel. Wow.
Who wrote it?
Somebody famous, I don't know, but that Gladys has, Gladys, who wasn't yet born either, in this picture, has interviewed the guy that wrote the book about her father. And I think I have it in my library there someplace. Anyway, now here are some bound feet. These are my two brothers' amas. My mother could go and teach English. She loved to teach Walt Whitman. I remember that. She loved Chinese poetry, and she loved American poetry. She could write, and, you know, she never really did write.
She didn't?
She should have. She could write better than my father could. She was the literary person, and it comes down. You can write. Steve writes. Patty can write. She hasn't written, but she can. And mm-hmm. I don't know if Bruce can write or not. Can he? I think his gifts are other, more like my father's mathematics and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this is Jim's ama, and I think she was called Wang Nai Nai. Anna. Well, wait a minute. It says ama and sewing woman with the two Robinson boys. Well, this is Wang Nai Nai, and maybe this was our sewing woman, but it looks like she's Harold's ama, too. And doesn't he look like a naughty little boy?
He does. He's got other things going on inside. And waiting for the opportunity to go.
And I think this may be the steps, not our front steps, but the steps of my father's study, out of his study door. And Jim with his little Mary Jane shoes, yeah. Uh-huh. And Harold with his little high shoes. Feet are really something to be studied there.
Uh-huh. What is it with bound feet?
Oh. Chinese women from, I forget what, dynasty. They thought it was beautiful to have small feet.
Uh-huh.
So they would take a little girl, I don't know what age, but let's say when she's pretty small and her bones are still pretty pliable. And they would take her feet and bend over the toes underneath and bind them tightly, break all the bones.
Wow.
And bind them and keep them that way. And this was supposed to be beautiful. If you had tiny feet, it was supposed to be very beautiful.
Wow.
I've heard it said that it really was a way that the patriarchy could keep their women in line.
Mm-hmm.
Because it couldn't run very fast. So, like putting women in high heels.
Exactly. Just, yeah, recurring motif.
And certainly feet in Chinese art are, and Japanese too, feet and toes, but of course they're breaking all the toes, are erotic.
Huh.
And very erotic. So.
Feet.
My ama, on the other hand, we don't have a picture of her, unfortunately, didn't have bound feet. She had big feet, and I forget what class of woman didn't have their feet bound. But she was also younger than Wang Nai Nai, and I don't know what this woman's name was. But we were very connected with our amas, because they loved us, and they took care of us, and they were with us all the time, and they taught us little Chinese songs, and that's where we learn Chinese.
Yeah.
Then, 1922, let's see, and they went to China in 16, no, 1923, they came back to America for their furlough. They came back every 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And my mother must have been, I was therefore conceived in China, but I wasn't born until they were back in furlough in Vermont. And
but Jim and Harold were born in Hawaii.
No, Jim and Harold were born in Bading Phu.
Born in Bading Phu.
Yeah.
So technically they're, what does that make them as far as their true birthright, their birth nationality.
They could not have been president.
That's all.
But actually, they could have been president. They were, their births were births were registered with the American consulate, which makes them American citizens in Beijing.
But they weren't clearly citizens of China.
That's right. Well, actually, probably this was taken before I was born. This was in Long Beach, California in 1923, and Harold would be...
Seven,
would that be? Six, probably. I mean, I think he was 6 years older than I. It was a little hard to figure out the years. And Jim would be three. That looks about right. And in the back of my grandparents... Mary Stambaugh, Ada Stambaugh's, and Vivian Guy Stambaugh's house in Long Beach. My mother's folks had built a little house for us to stay in when we were here on furlough so they could see us.
Uh-huh.
And I know it was very hard on them, on my mother's mother, to have her only daughter go off to China. Huh. And... so they built this little house, and we always stayed there. It's probably still there.
They moved there after Mary went to Hawaii.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They moved from, Spokane.
Cheney.
Cheney, and then they lived in Spokane, too.
Oh.
So this picture was in Long Beach, and I think my folks brought Chinese costumes back because, as you've seen, my brothers didn't wear these Chinese clothes in China.
Yeah.
But they brought them back to show off.
Exactly, when they were here.
And if you don't think that was a strange thing, to come back to this country and be shown off in Chinese clothes, somehow, you know, again, being special, but weird.
Strange, different, very different.
Yep.
Stand out.
Yep. Anyway, that's probably before I was born. And then this is Warren, Vermont.
Yeah. The old home.
The old home, South Hollow and Warren, Vermont. This is where my grandfather Robinson, after his wife died, lived in this house. And you saw it, I think, when you were there.
Yeah, I think I did.
It's on the other side of the covered bridges over here.
Mm-hmm.
And we would spend, on furlough, we'd spend some time in Long Beach with my mother's folks coming by ship across the Pacific and then traveling across the country and spending some time with my father's folks.
Hmm.
And I was born, although this is Warren, Vermont, my father's father and mother lived, they'd moved to Warren. And I was born in Barrie because that's where the hospital was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born in November. This probably might have been after I was born, or December anyway, of the year. And my two brothers, seven and three, looks like more like four there, doesn't he? But it could be three.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is my...
But what does he have? It looks like a dog or something.
Yeah, this is a dog, and Harold is whistling. Probably learning, or he knew how to whistle before because we always had dogs.
Hmm.
But it's probably the same farm in the winter.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Jim doesn't look very happy there. Maybe I've already replaced him.
Hmm.
This is my grandmother Robinson. Only picture I have of her.
Of this woman.
Probably, but we're not sure.
Why aren't you sure? Because it's not clear who this really is?
That's right.
Huh.
We have to look at Grandpa's story.
Okay.
But anyway, this was after I was born, and I must have had a lot of people loving me at that point. Huh. And here's my other grandmother. Then we came back to go to China. And this is Grandmother Stambaugh, and again in Long Beach.
Yeah.
337 Carroll Park West.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Does Jim have roller skates? Oh, Harold has roller skates.
Yeah.
That's very good. And Jim looking very proud.
He does.
And me looking a little weird.
Well, just kind of befuddled.
Befuddled is right. What is all this about? But Jim looks terribly happy. I think there was that relationship between them. Harold would try to get Jim into trouble, and Jim would somehow always win. Because I think our mother didn't understand Harold, so she blamed Jim. I mean, she blamed Harold. And this was just a picture of Grandpa. When he would go to Vermont, he loved to go out and harness up the plow horse or something and go out and pretend to be a farmer.
Yeah.
Which was supposed to be his... He's supposed to have been a farmer.
That's what he was going to be.
Yeah.
That's what he was born to be.
Right. But I think it's a later furlough. I don't think it was when I was born. And here we are again, up in, still in Long Beach. But Uncle Guy and Aunt Bess have come down to be with Guy's parents. This is Grandfather Stambaugh. And when he was in his 90s, he had just as thick amount of hair as he did when he was a young man.
Yeah.
He was a hippie from the early times. He pulled his hair to keep it healthy.
Wow.
And if you wanted to keep yours healthy, you have to keep pulling it.
Is that right?
That's what he did. And he had his full head of hair when he died.
Huh.
And practically black, too. It didn't turn very gray.
Huh.
And he and his wife didn't have a very easy time. She was a very good church woman, and he was who he was. And Harold told me that at some point, Grandmother Stambaugh actually threatened to divorce him and left him for a while, which must have been something in those days. I mean, these women had got a lot of spunk.
Yeah.
Here's Sydney, who became the ballet dancer.
Uh-huh.
Here's Betty Jean, who lives down in... I haven't heard from her. I think she's still alive, though. She moved out of Mexico City to Cuernavaca.
Is Betty Jean's parents?
Aunt Bess and Uncle Guy.
Okay.
Huh. And they were living, they must have come down to be with my family as we went back to China, and their parents, or Guy's parents, from Montana, because... They lived in Deer Lodge, Montana. That's where Sydney and Betty Jean grew up.
What drew Betty Jean to Mexico? She met somebody who was Mexican.
It's interesting. Aunt Bess, Uncle Guy was a handsome guy.
Uh-huh.
And Aunt Bess was a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
She looked very Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And she was, they were both... country. They lived in the country, and they had all these prejudices, and especially Uncle Guy was totally taciturn. He never talked. But Aunt Bess talked a lot, and she really disliked Catholics and foreigners more than anything.
Wow.
And when Sydney was growing into high school, he was very interested in magic. And Betty Jean told me recently that our grandfather Stambaugh had been a kind of an occultist.
Huh.
And I only knew him as a totally quiet old man that never spoke to me, lay on his couch and spat in a wastebasket when he got old. And he was a strange man, a very strange man. But he had an interest in the occult.
Huh.
And he gave Sydney, I don't know when Sydney maybe was... 7th or 8th grade, a crystal ball to tell fortunes with that he had, and it was in a black velvet bag, and Sydney valued that more than anything. It was almost, Sydney was recognized by his grandfather as somebody special,
right.
And Sydney was, his parents wanted him to take over their ranch, their sheep ranch.
Wow.
And Sydney was not that kind of kid. He was interested in magic. He loved the fact that he had these cousins that went to China. I mean, China was the most exotic place he could think of.
Yeah.
And he loved to dress up in costume, and his family, to make him a man, sent him to, after he graduated from high school, sent him off to military school to make him a man. And he somehow survived that. And then he wanted to go and study dancing. And they said, no, you can't study dancing. You have to go to college. So Sidney was very smart, and he said, okay, I'll go to college.
He just went to college to study dancing.
He went to University of Washington, where Martha Graham was a teacher. And Martha Graham was a great modern dancer.
Wow.
And he became a ballet dancer. Sidney became a ballet dancer. And traveled with the Ballet Russe, Monte Carlo, all around the world. And yeah. He was a gorgeous... You've never met him, I guess, but... Yeah, did you know him when he came to visit, or was that before you were born?
See, I don't even really have any sense of Betty Jean. Bruce and Patty and Steve all went to Mexico City, and I remember Guy, because Guy came to her house, and Betty Jean must have been there, but I don't remember.
No, Betty, it was Susanna. Susanna was Betty Jean, this is Betty Jean. Her children are Guy and Susanna, and then she has Roberto and Alessandro or something like
all
that.
All from the same husband?
Yes. They had two children, and then quite a few years later they had two more children.
And her husband was Spanish?
Her husband was Bill, yeah. Bill Guillermo Prieto.
Uh-huh.
Anyway... After he'd gotten to be a dancer with Martha Graham, he was famous, and he went back to New York, and he danced with... He lived in New York, and he danced with the Metropolitan Ballet Company. He was one of their premier dancers.
Wow.
And Betty Jean, then, she wanted to go to New York and study art, and the family would let her go, because that was safe enough.
Yeah.
And she was much more fond of the ranch than her brother was. She'd always loved it.
Yeah.
But she was pretty artistic, so she went back to New York, and Sidney was living there, so they thought that was safe. Well, who should she meet back there but a foreigner and a Catholic? So she married Bill, who was Mexican, and moved to Mexico, and she became a Catholic.
Huh.
And eventually her parents, you know, loved Bill. He was a wonderful man.
Mm-hmm.
And they got very, you know, totally appreciative of Sidney's career, because he was a wonderful dancer.
Yeah. He could teach them, too.
So this must be our going back to China passport picture.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's looking pretty serious.
Yeah. Your mom looks tired.
Well, it was a hard time for her. We had all been through a lot. Well, I don't remember it, and I'm sure they don't. But my mother had said, after, you know, this 7-year stint in China, she told Dad, your grandfather, that she would not go back to China with him. He could go back, but she wouldn't go. She hated mm-hmm. it. So he said, well, I love China, but let me go. And think about this. You're my wife. This is my family. And he went up and spent a summer, or I don't know how long, 3 months or so, at Guy and Bess's ranch. Mm. And he was a shepherd. He took care of the sheep.
Their ranch was where?
Up in Montana, uh-huh. Deer Lodge, Montana.
Uh-huh. And then your mom was with you in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
With her mom. I mean, uh-huh. you know, and her
family.
Right, in this little cottage that they built. I mean, it was very cozy.
Yeah.
But it must have been hard on my brothers. I mean, they must have known tension, tension, tension.
Sure.
And I don't look very happy there. Hmm. Anyway, when Grandpa came back, he said, what I really want is to be with you and with my family, and I'll do whatever you want. We'll stay here. We'll find something to do here. And by that time, my mother had decided she wouldn't put him through that. And I don't know whether she cared any more about China being that way, far away from it, or she just thought she'd go back. So it must have been a hard time.
Because this is the passport photo.
Yeah.
When they're getting ready to go.
Yeah. Hard time.
Yeah.
So we do go back to Batting Fu, and here is our house, and here is the sleeping porch that I remember sleeping on.
In the wintertime, when it's frozen.
In the wintertime, yeah, yeah.
There's just glass there. It must have been like a refrigerator.
And sleeping porch? Yeah. Well, it wasn't even glass. It was screening. But there were screened windows.
So it was real cold.
It was real cold, but we all had sleeping bags.
Wow.
And I remember that my mother was hard. I mean, she was so depressed and a difficult life for her. And I remember when I would go to bed on that sleeping porch, I would say my prayers, and I would say, I made up a poem about, I love the sleeping porch. My bed is my second mother. It was comfortable. I could be cozy. And I knew that my mother couldn't be that way for me.
Even when you were 3 or 4?
Yeah.
That really young.
Or 5, probably. Because I do remember sitting someplace on my bed or her bed or the stairs and realizing that there was nothing I could do to make her happy. It was really sad. I think it was at that point that I decided I had to take care of myself. As you can see, we had snow and a sled. I don't know what Jim is holding. The snow would melt pretty quickly. It didn't last very long.
Uh-huh.
But it was cold.
It looks like it.
And I think this was probably a little bit younger than this, with my doll baby carriage and a little doll in it. And I remember we had these walks, brick walks. Don't know where that was, but it must have been about two or three there.
Mm.
And here was our crew of servants. These were very important people in my life. This was Tenda Sal. This was my ama. And she was the one. She didn't have bound feet. And I loved her a lot. She was just wonderful.
You sure holding on to her hand, Tom.
Yeah. Looks as if I have stomachache. And my brother Harold having a grand time. And brother Jim looking up to see what thing Harold is going to try next.
And these three people.
This is our wonderful cook, Zhang Shifu. He was just great. We loved him so much. He was very funny. And he I don't know how he did it, but I remember somebody came by that Zhang Shifu didn't like and thought he was doing some Chinese man. And he hung him up by his heels, pounded his head.
Wow.
He was protecting us in some way. And I was very impressed. And I know that Zhang Shifu was the cook. And when my mother taught him how to make American breakfast, you've heard this story before. By mistake, she burned the toast on the Chinese stove. And she scraped it and said, "This, you know, we don't throw this out, but we're not supposed to do this." But Zhang Shifu always burned the toast and scraped it.
He was just following.
Yeah. And this was the gardener. He was not particularly important. He did a lot of things outside. This was the table boy. His name was Boilin. Boilin was our table boy. Zhang Shifu was the cook. Shifu means head person. And Boilin was his name. He didn't have the charisma that Zhang Shifu did. He didn't love us as much as Zhang Shifu did.
And what is your Amos?
Ama.
Ama? What's your Ama's name?
Tian De Sao.
Tian De Sao?
Mm-hmm. Tian De Sao. She was with us a long time. And when... see, I must have been about 2 then.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to Dajo when I was probably 6 years old or 7. And there were no other families in Dajo. And so I would be the only child, foreign child, in this compound. So Tian De Sao agreed to go with us. That would make me feel happy. And she did go with us, and she stayed there maybe a year. And then we came back on furlough when I was in 3rd grade, so I was 9 years old, I think. And when we went back to China, I'd already had my 10th birthday, and I remember being in Beta He, where we went for the summers, seeing Tian De Sao, and she didn't recognize me. She was with another foreign child, and I felt absolutely heartbroken.
I bet. Because that was the closest you had to your own mother.
Yep.
Your lost mother.
And, you know, she'd move. I'm sure that if I didn't have the courage or didn't, I was too...
reserved?
I should have gone up and say, hey, Tian De Sao, here I am. I've grown up, but I didn't say that. I just felt hurt, just like my mother. Anyway, they were very important people in our lives. This, I don't know who it is. It's probably Harold. And this is how, although I went one summer, I think, with them to Guanzeling, and it might have been me. This is how the little ones went up the mountain with, in a chair with bearers carrying us.
Oh, I see. Okay, there's the chair. Okay.
It might have been me. I don't know who that was. What does it say now? This is Ndadding Phu. And here's Jim and Emma Rose. And they're wearing Chinese padded garments. They're very warm coats. This is, I think, it isn't Gladys. Might have been Faith Galt. Maybe the Galts lived with the Hubbards for a while, too. So maybe that, I think that's Faith Galt, or one of the Galts. And this is me. I don't know where. Harold might have gone.
Which is you?
This little
one. Oh, okay, there's your face. I see.
Yeah.
Cold.
Cold, yeah. Cold winter. And this is by contrast in Beta He, where we went for the summers, and it's beautiful, wonderful Pacific Ocean. And down at the beach where we spent lots and lots of time. I think I was just skinny dipping.
Mm-hmm.
Very loved it.
It was warm.
Warm and total freedom there. Just we as foreigners had the place all to ourselves. Mm-hmm. The Chinese didn't live there. We had this house was built
there,
and I think my folks paid for it. And across the way was the Ballou's house. This is Mrs. Ballou. I don't see Mr. Ballou there. See, the fathers would be there only part of the summer. The mothers would be there with their kids. This is my father. This is my mother. Harold looking very sad. This is Hubbard Ballou, who just died last year. I think this was their Ama. Bobby Ballou, Jim, Larry Ballou, little me.
That's you.
And this is Christy Ballou. That's me looking really sad. I might have...
Huh. You might have what?
Well, I don't think that. I think I was younger when I was punished, probably about this age. I was punished because Our ama would go with my ama, Tanisa would go with me. And she was told to bring me back for lunch. Maybe I'd always have big lunch at middle of the day and then take a nap. And I didn't want to come back.
Uh-huh.
So I bit her in the shoulder.
Wow.
Enough to make it bleed.
Uh-huh.
And she would have clothes on. And my father had just arrived from Badingfu. And the family had been there for some time without him. And he had brought lollipops for everybody. And my punishment was I had to give her my lollipops.
Wow.
That was a punishment. And I remember that.
Is that right here?
No, I think that's older. That looks like about five. And this looks about two or three. But really not very happy. Maybe I had been playing and they called me to come and let's see what it says.
I don't know, there's a lot of words on this.
This was taken at Beta Hut last summer. Mrs. Ballou is standing on the porch, as is her ama. There's the ama, the Ballou ama. Bobby is at the left and Christy is at the right.
Of the porch pillar.
Larry is near James and Hubbard is holding his pup in front of the porch. Yeah, there he is. He was a great guy. And I say he just died. Mr. Ballou took the picture. Oh, he was there. The center of attraction is the man who made all sorts of figures out of dough and coloring matter. Some
bunch.
When the two families got together, yeah. He was a traveling guy. He walked around and carried this on his back, and he made these wonderful figures out of flour and water.
Wow.
And painted them, and they were, you know, he was very artistic.
Yeah.
Just, he did it for the Chinese kids, and then, of course, he would make more money if he came around to the Westerners.
Sure.
But this house was where at Lighthouse Point. And later on, because there was just the Ballous, the Ballou family house over here, and our family house in Lighthouse Point, and then the beach was practically empty. I mean, it was just our two families. Now, the communists have taken, of course, and it was all foreign. And now it's a big place for R&R, for Chinese officials, communist officials. And it's changed a lot. People who've been back don't recognize it, say this house is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because there were no girls for me. Maybe that's why I was looking sad. There weren't any little girls.
Yeah.
And we moved to East Cliff, where there were lots and lots and lots and lots of families, and where we lived in other people's houses, rented out other houses when they were away. But this is how we got to and from the train and by donkey.
Hmm.
And we had a dog named Cassiopeia.
Wow.
That's probably Cassie.
Wow.
And this is the ocean there. What fun we had. This was East Cliff. It wasn't Lighthouse Point. And this is the raft.
Mm-hmm. This went out too.
Yeah. This probably was Lighthouse Point.
Uh-huh.
And I liked my daddy.
Yeah. You look happy there.
And then this is again our front steps in Badingfu.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember them though. It's funny. I don't know.
Yeah, there's another one where you're. Maybe you're there with.
Maybe this is my father's study steps. Remember the steps where the two amas.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
And because this is the front door, and I don't think that doesn't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time there was something about these steps that were, you see that the amas were there, maybe because it was less formal. They were sort of a, and maybe because of my father's study, so it was a nice place to be. And I remember one time The Hubbards were there. No, the Hunters finally moved into the Hubbards' house. And there was Gene Hunter and me. We were the same age. And Jim and Bobby Hunter. I think that was all. And we were sitting on these steps talking about sex. And my mother heard us somehow, and she was very upset. So she punished us. We weren't supposed to be talking about that sort of thing.
You were less than 10?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So her punishment was to make us take spoonfuls of castor oil. That was the worst punishment. It was pretty terrible. But, you know, I'm thinking that there was something about those steps that was cozy.
More familial.
Yeah.
Or safe.
Safe, yeah. And then when I was that year, 5 maybe, would be, I think it was 27, so it was probably 4. There was one great big revolution or civil war in China, and we had to leave Baringfu. And families from all over, missionary families from all over, moved to a larger city from the provincial areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all settled in Tungzhou and doubled up in different houses. And Tungzhou is where the school was.
Mm-hmm.
And this is me. This is Jim. Harold. Yes, you've got it.
A lot of people there.
Alden Matthews. Emma Rose Hubbard. Where's that? No, that's Gladys Hubbard. That's my friend. She's years older.
Mm-hmm.
This is Emma Rose.
Mm-hmm.
This is Kitty and Marie Stanley.
Uh-huh.
And you met Susie, their daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Who now lives in Berkeley, and she just lost her job with a small computer company,
uh-huh.
But she thinks she's got another one. And here's my mother back there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Grandpa. He might not have been there. Anyway, this is on the steps of the schoolhouse. And we lived in a family, we lived with the Galts. Let's see. That year. And I remember I had a lot of sore throats. And at some point, the doctor came to see me and he wanted to paint my throat with mercurochrome.
Wow.
And I remember screaming and screaming and screaming. And I don't remember this, but I remember being told that when they finally could get me to say what I was screaming about, that my brothers or somebody had told me that mercurochrome was monkey's blood and the doctor was going to paint my throat with monkey's blood. So terrifying. I mean, little kids are terrified by, you know.
Such graphic imagery.
And who cares if it was monkey's blood or not, you know. But anyway, I did. And then I do remember vaguely being sent out of the dining room because we had to eat together with this whole other big family, and they all had kids, maybe 2 families. And I was still in a high chair. Gosh, well, it must have been 4 or even 3. And they sent me out of the dining room because I was doing something, yelling or being obstreperous. And I remember being out in the hall in this high chair and yelling, "Please help little bimbo. Please help little bimbo." Who knows where that came from? Probably a story that someone read to me.
Uh-huh.
But, and Ward Hubbard, here's Ward Hubbard there.
Mm-hmm.
He was Harold's age, and he's still alive. Strange man. He was out at the reunion. This last October. And I don't remember when it was, but sometime or other, in another one of these civil wars where the fighting got too close to Baringfu, we got on a junk and came down a canal and went to Tinsin. And I think that year we didn't go to
the beach.
We went across to Japan and stayed in Japan for through the duration. So there were times when a lot of fighting was going on. This is the year, this same year, and I look a little older, and this was a May Queen. This was Ruth Wiley, always a May Queen, and here she is. She's quite beautiful, and I was a little page or something.
Uh-huh.
And here's another scene of that same year, uh-huh. May Queen with Ruth Wiley. And let's see, there's Jean Hunter, must be here. I think maybe that's Jean. She was my age, and she also was in Bounty Fu. She was one of those that we were punished for talking about sex on the porch.
Huh.
And then this is Bounty Fu with Gladys and Cassiopeia, our dog, and Emma Rose, and me. And probably I would be about six there. And this is a Chinese man. We didn't really have Chinese friends, but the students that came in and out sometimes would become our friends, and they thought that, you know, American girls were pretty interesting. Probably mostly Emma Rose because she was the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. This guy was learning English, and he liked to talk to us. And what did he say once? It's funny how you remember some totally ridiculous nothings.
Stick in the mind.
Mm-hmm. One of us had a torn skirt, or maybe we tore it on a bicycle or something, and said, "Oh, my," or something. No, it was my shoe. Maybe my